Live from Landshark Bar and Grill and Sportsbook at Margaritaville Broadway, this is NFL Postgame with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow, presented by Two Rivers Ford, Superbook Sports, and Renter's Warehouse on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
The Titans win by scoring 17 again. Their last two wins, they've been able to score 17 against the Texans and the Broncos. In between that loss to the Chiefs and not able to score in overtime. But other than that, Chad, as we welcome you back to NFL Postgame inside Landshark Bar and Grill at the Superbook Sports Lounge, we're upstairs. And by lounge, we mean the TVs are on. We're about to see the second half here between the Packers and the Cowboys. And we've got the Colts, Raiders, Cardinals, Rams game on. Titans win by 7 after trailing by 10. It was 10-0. They score 17 unanswered. The Titans get their 6th win, and now it's on to Green Bay for Thursday Night Football.
It almost feels like we're in a speakeasy when we talk about this place because there's so many directions on how to get here.
If you'll go knock and twice and then scratch, we'll let you in.
The password is New England clam chowder. The chunky clam chowder, in fact. No, we want to get the word out about this place because great television setup for NFL games on Sunday, for college games on Saturday. And we're here enjoying a lot of the late afternoon action right now. Oh, by the way, Raiders driving. Third down coming up, down 13-7 to the Colts and Jeff Saturday. Late third quarter of that game. But, Hutton, I'm watching this Titans game today. By the way, phone lines are open if you want to jump in. We've got time to take some phone calls in this final hour. 615-737-1025. 737-1025. But, Hutton, I'm watching this Titans offense today, and I keep thinking to myself, man, oh, man, if I could only come up with some positives around this offense. Yeah. And I'm having a hard time finding them. This is why I bring these types of things to you, because you are Mr. Positivity. You're very sunshine and rainbows at all times.
Not with this crew.
You can give me the positive spin on this Titans offense.
I'm positive during the regular season with this offense, Chad. Let me preface all this, all right? The Titans offense, they started – very bad. I mean, so did the Broncos here. But the Broncos at least came out of it early on, scoring 10 points. Their first 6 possessions gained just 51 yards on 22 plays.
That is
They
bad.
Had 2 first downs on 22 plays. After that, though, 38 plays for 256 yards, and that includes the kneel down. But so it was not good, right? But the finish was fine. Aside from whatever Downing was doing with Malik Willis, the finish was fine. Today, the Titans gained 191 second-half yards. That's a season high for them. They scored 10 points, which ties their season high in the second half. They threw for 155 yards in the second half. That's also a season high. So I think a couple of things.
They flipped the script a little bit.
Well, but
based on first and second half.
Yes, but they only do that with Tannehill playing. So I think that needs to be a focus, is the fact that while he was lobbying in Arrowhead, things didn't look good during the walk around in Arrowhead, from what I'm told. He wasn't close to playing from the organization's perspective, I guess. This week, it was apparent he was starting because Logan Woodside remained on the practice squad yesterday. They didn't call him up at the deadline. So we knew he was going to play, and he was very effective. You know, he was the reason why they were able to actually score points. Not a lot of points, but points in this game. And I do think there are some nice things to point to as we move forward, knowing that they're capable of trailing in a game and having some guys step up. But again, I mean, Westbrook-Ikhine did it. He did it today. But he also ended a streak for 3 straight games where he had 0 catches. So Tannehill playing equals some of the role players are going to have more opportunities, and he's going to put them in a good spot. Meanwhile, with Malik, it's a 50-50 crapshoot on a lot of these passing downs. And the game plan was to throw it. Midway through the second quarter.
First play of the game was a pass.
Midway through the second quarter, and I think that's a huge credit to the Broncos' defense up front with their 5-man pressure in the run. It was like 2-1 pass to run in this game. And I'm looking around going, man, they haven't really tried Henry all that much, and they have it in the last 2 games.
Yeah, and today was tough. It was one of those days for Derrick Henry, just looking at it specifically from his standpoint. I mean, the stats are not good.
It was his second worst game of the season.
Yeah.
And by the way, even last week, he's coming off five straight 100-yard performances.
The Broncos are really good defensively. Let's start with that.
Yeah,
so it's one thing to have a plan to stop Derrick Henry. It's another thing to have the personnel to execute the plan to stop Derrick Henry. They have that. But you can tell with Derrick Henry, who's great, who's going to end up in the Hall of Fame, the days where he's just really not feeling it. He had one run I could count in the second half where he got moving downhill, where it looked like vintage Derrick Henry, where he was shot out of a cannon when he got the handoff. He was getting knocked back.
Oh.
There were a few times where most games, he is falling forward for 2 or 3 yards after a hit.
You're right.
And he was getting stoned at the line of scrimmage and knocked back by one guy. That's not typical Derrick Henry. It wasn't typical Henry in this game. In large part, yes, I do. In large part because of the plan from the Broncos, but also with him. It was not a vintage performance for him at all. He was 19 carries for 53 yards, a long of 10. And that 10-yard carry is what I'm talking about, where he burst, through the hole quickly and was immediately in full sprint when he got the handoff. That looked like Derrick Henry, 2.8 yards per carry average.
Yeah,
that's not Derrick Henry. Now, the good news based on the positivity you just laid out for the Titans offense, the one thing you look at is Ryan Tannehill should only get better, healthier.
Should.
Right? So that the offense with Malik Willis right
Traylon
now
Burks is back. The
is
first
nothing.
Week he was able to come back from IR, he's back. Right? I mean, that's
they
got
to start going to him.
Yeah.
Even if it's play calling and design to you're looking his way and you're getting him the ball, you got to start seeing what you have with that. He can't just be a common part of your progression. My point.
I'm with you.
And now you got to go to him first.
And now in a short week, you've got Simmons who missed today. He was in a boot earlier this week. Dupree who has re-aggravated the hip in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Don't know when he's back. And on the back end of things, Molden, who came back today, you've got some other players really banged up. They were down to Avery playing in the secondary today. Caleb Farley even got hurt today. He barely plays defense and got hurt today.
I was about to say, I thought you had to be on the
David
field
Long,
in
yeah,
order to get hurt.
Yeah, he left with a back issue.
David Long, I said at the last postgame show we had, he's quickly becoming one of my favorite Titans to watch play, the way he plays the game. He's been terrific.
Let's go to the phones. 615-737-1025, our number if you'd like to join. It's NFL postgame presented by Two Rivers Ford, Renters Warehouse, and Superbook Sports. And we say hello to Roger, who is calling from Dixon. Roger, welcome in. Hello, Roger. All right, Roger, not there, Chad. Your thoughts on Roger?
Roger, we got to be better. We got to be better. We got to be more Roger McCreary as a good lockdown corner.
Then
Roger Clemens throwing the bat at Mike Piazza. I'm trying to think of other Rogers. Roger the Rabbit. That was more Roger the Rabbit than Roger McCreary. We need better from our caller. 615-737-1025.
So we're at the half, right, with Dallas and Green Bay about to start the second half. Looking at the numbers.
By the way, the Raiders scored. They're now up 14-13 on the Colts.
Looking ahead to the matchup between the Titans and Packers, this is a Packers group this week that's running the football very well so far. Tied at 14 as we're getting set for the second half. Let me pull up the numbers so far with what they've done and the emphasis on the offense, which has opened up some things in the passing game for them. And I apologize, I'm scrolling down through here. So the Packers rushed 18 times for 93 yards in the first half. That's the most in a first half this season for them. And they got Aaron Jones. They have Dylan. They're capable of being run heavy if they need to. But that's also 18 carries, tied for the most carries in a first half for the Packers this season. Rodgers throwing was 4 of 6 for 73 yards.
Wow.
58 yards came on the touchdown pass to Christian Watson. And it's Packers knotted at 14 with the Cowboys.
Six passes, though.
But this is – I mean, that's why I was so adamant about Frank Reich. I mean, don't be an idiot for the sake of just trying to stick with what's got you there. When it's going to work, when you've got a backfield that can carry you and run time of possession, and you're going to get your defense getting a takeaway, because I believe the Packers got 2 in the first half, right?
Yep.
let your players who you've paid, like Aaron Jones, go to work for you. And they're doing that now. And they're in the thick of it now as we begin the third quarter at Lambeau.
They're doing that. It's working. Running the football also working for the Colts. Jonathan Taylor just went about 75 yards for a touchdown to retake the lead against the Raiders.
This is the formula in this year's NFL. The running backs that are able to sustain drives and move the chains are helping the quarterbacks who, by and large, quarterback play is
down. Dare I say it's a running
down.
Back year? This is like 1989 all over again.
It's not a
again,
running back year, but it's up. Like, it's trending
because
up.
Quarterbacks are down, quite frankly.
Quarterbacks are down. Defenses have adjusted. They're much more faster. Linebackers are tiny. And so teams are loading the box offensively, I'm saying. They're loading up at the line and just running downhill. And meanwhile, you've got extra defenders and six defensive backs flying around, knocking the ball loose. I think the defenses have adjusted to the NFL rules a bit. And on top of that, you're right. The quarterback play, I think, top to bottom, there's more bad quarterback play week to week than what we've seen. And offensive line play, too, for
and
that.
And tying it back to the Titans, it's how the Titans are 6-3 right now because of this league.
Yeah.
The way they're built in this league with a great running back, a really, really good defense. It can be a winning formula for you if you get the right schedule up against the right teams. Titans have done that, and that's why they're in clear control of the AFC South.
Joey, I hope Joey is better than Roger. Joey in Pleasant View.
Is he going to be Joey Tribbiani, or is he going to be...
If he just speaks something. It doesn't even have to be a coherent word, Joey.
We need Joey to be more Joey Porter than Joey Harrington. That's what we need on this one.
Hey, Joey.
Fellas, I'm here.
Okay. We got you, man. What's up?
All right. I wanted to call and ask about the – I don't know if y'all saw, heard, or whatever on the defensive holding call on the defensive lineman. Do y'all know anything about that, or could you explain that call that the referee made?
Are you talking about the sack that was called back?
No, I think it's on a run play. The Broncos ran the ball, and then the referee called a holding call on number, I think it was 91 on the defensive line.
I
feel like that was on a sack, too. There was a defensive holding call on a defensive lineman.
Yes, and it was a first down. And then the Titans ended up getting off the field anyway late in that drive.
Yes.
Joey, you're not wrong to ask that particular one either.
It's a rare call. What the purpose is, if you wrap up an offensive lineman as a defensive lineman, it seems contradictory, right? It's the offensive lineman trying to hold the defender back from getting the running back or the quarterback. But in this instance, there are times where, because of the scheme or whatever the play is, it's beneficial for the defensive lineman to bear hug or hold on to the offensive lineman because he's trying to free up a lane for someone blitzing behind him or something. There could be a stunt or a game of some sort where they're trying to hold up the offensive lineman. Titans got caught doing that.
Joey, thank you for the call. I don't know.
I hope that makes sense.
There was one on the sack where, on the replay, I was trying to see where it happened. I couldn't see it. Legitimately couldn't see a defensive hold at the line of scrimmage. So I doubt Vrabel says anything publicly about it. But we'll hear more about that call. The refs, you know, they're very vague in their descriptions. I wish it was much more emphasizing what it was they saw. But we'll never get that.
I just feel like
there's no one in the league that's less accountable than an NFL official.
It's just it's become so obvious, like, where the flag is thrown. Like, anything thrown by the umpire or close to the secondary, I just go under the assumption it's defensive holding, right? It's 5-yard defensive holding, automatic first down. It's so commonly called. Today's officiating was not great. It's been a bit of an issue in the NFL this year.
I also, you know, one thing we should mention, Chad, one of the benefits, you know what, when we come back, there was a huge benefit that the Titans defense was gifted. Whenever we come back, I'll tell you that, because I think it really shaped how Denver went about their play calling. Phone lines.
615-737-1025 if you want to jump in. Joey was good. We need more
good
Joeys.
Job, Joey.
We need more Joeys. Less Rogers. You don't have to be Joey or Roger. Your name
what about
can,
Randy's?
Your name can be
what was
anything.
The name you don't like?
I'm not a big fan. Ricky. A huge fan of the name
Randy,
Ricky.
You're welcome to call.
Ricky or Randy. Look, you can be Joey, Roger, Ricky, Randy, Robbie, Raleigh, whatever you want. You can call in with whatever name you have. 615-737-1025. Let's react to the Titans' win over the Broncos 17-10, getting to 6-3 on the season. Whatever you want to talk about with the game. 615-737-1025. And a huge thanks to our sponsors, Superbook, Two Rivers Ford, Renters Warehouse.
And we're live at Landshark Bar and Grill inside Margaritaville on Broadway. We will also hear from Nick Westbrook-Ikhine when we come back on 102.5 The Game.
Back here on the NFL postgame show, we're here with Titans wide receiver Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Nick, you kind of had a little bit of tension with the media when they were asking about wide receivers last week. What does it feel to have a really big game today and kind of bounce back after last week's performance?
It feels great to come away with a win. Really not even, you know, worried about what happened last week. I've said it a couple times now. If you live by the praise of men, you'll die by the criticism. So you can't focus on that. It's not going to help us win games. If anything, it'll just cloud our heads. So just ignore all that and just keep chugging along, being a professional and doing what we do.
What do you see the potential for this group going forward? Obviously, a much more bigger breakout game today. Do you think this can kind of propel you personally and this wide receiver room forward going for the rest of the season?
Selfishly, yeah, I would hope so. I love seeing our guys make plays and be able to see us getting a rhythm and just the receivers having the ball in their hands. But just whatever we can do to help this offense win, I feel like that's the biggest thing.
Our thanks to Junie Riddle there with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Michelle Knezovic also making it happen from the Titans locker room. Titans win 17-10 over the Denver Broncos. They pick up win number 6, and it's on to Green Bay for Thursday night football. The Packers and Cowboys in progress. We'll keep you updated on all those scores. I mean, it's a good question by Junie there, because Westbrook-Ikhine did say, like, oh, I don't know anything about this wide receiver criticism.
He said something. It was even stranger. He said, I didn't hear anything about any criticism of wide receiver until this week.
This week, yeah.
Which I'm talking about that game, and I'm thinking,
he does a great job of not seeing or talking to anyone.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
I'm thinking the better route just said, I don't really pay attention to any of that, so I don't know.
Yeah, but to his credit,
it's a good response today from him.
Yes, it was a great game.
Going
response.
Back to the end of that second quarter, I thought that was the play of the game from the offense, was to get points, to get a touchdown.
You're right.
Not just a field goal in that spot.
Right before the half.
With a beautifully placed throw and catch from Tannehill to Westbrook-Ikhine. So he was much better today. Full credit to him.
I also thought this is a big point of the game, and I think it would, to me, based on some of the notes I had in the first half, I went back and I said things like, the Titans don't have a Cortland Sutton. Sutton was making some grabs, contested catches on the boundary. They were keeping drives alive. It led to a 10-0 lead. I thought the Jerry Jeudy injury affected some things there, because they end up with a group. They start the season, the plan – the four wide receivers should have been Sutton, Patrick, Jeudy, and Hamler. And now they have, in the game today, they had Sutton, Hinton, Cleveland, Virgil, or Washington, whichever you want to put in there. Virgil, by the way, his first career catch was a touchdown on that bomb where it was a miscommunication.
Yeah, it was very eerily similar, minus the great running back for the Broncos, and I watched their offense. To the Titans in a lot of ways. The struggles with them on offense. And again, they actually outgained the Titans in this game, losing 17-10.
So
I just see similar problems. But here's the craziest thing to me. The Titans have the better quarterback.
Yes.
And I would not have said that coming into this season.
I agree.
That shocked me that I'm saying that. But
there's a difference, though. How many times? I know you sacked 6 times. But all the spin moves that Russell Wilson makes, and he's able to just keep plays alive, that you're just like, how did he pull the Houdini? You know what I mean? Like, he's still doing that. And there were some aspects there that Tannehill certainly doesn't have with a bum ankle, but doesn't have weekly. But you're right. The efficiency is not there. But this is also the second straight game the Titans, the fumble, let me know who recovers this. The second straight game, Chad, where the Titans are facing an opponent coming off a bye week with the Chiefs and the Broncos. Now they'll both have a short week between the Titans and the Packers. There was a fumble. Was this a punt? A fumble?
Yeah, it was a punt return, football? Punt return by the Packers. Fumble, Cowboys recover it. Cowboys ball in Packers territory, tied at 14. Huge mistake from the Pack, their special teams group. Just fumbled a punt return, and the Cowboys pounced on it. But going back to Russell Wilson today and his mobility, he showed a lot of that mobility, but I can really only recall one play where he really got out of trouble and did anything with it. And it was a drop off.
Not that he did anything, just that he didn't just take the sack.
Yeah, it was a drop off, and he got sacked a lot. But
six, yeah.
It would drop off to the running back where they get like 7 yards. You know, but I remember watching even the commentators calling the game were saying, this looks like the Russell Wilson of old, where you think he's down, he's not. He keeps the play alive. Early in his career, he takes off running there. Later in his career, later Russell Wilson keeps his eyes downfield and finds the check down, and they get a positive play where it looked like they were going to have a big loss. That really only happened once. He was able to avoid pressure a few times, throw it away,
yeah,
where it looked like he should have gone down.
Yeah, and I think that's the difference between the two, but the efficiency far better today for Ryan Tannehill. And, I mean, I don't want to know what the score – maybe the score's 10-0 or 10-3. And maybe 10-0 because Randy Bullock did something in warmups. That's why we saw Ryan Stonehouse on kickoffs. And Stonehouse alluded to it postgame where he was told right before the game that Randy wasn't available for kickoffs. And I noticed that Stonehouse was working on kickoffs in pregame. That's an alert, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's he doing? It's no different than picking up on it at training camp whenever he's the holder for Randy Bullock and Brett Kern's not. Like, something's up. And that's why it was pretty obvious from the second week of training camp, that he had a chance to win the job, and he's done nothing but be great. But it was, you know, that's a red flag. And hopefully it's nothing but a tweak, and they were being careful with it because he was still available. He was still on extra points. He was still kicking into the net on the sideline for a chance to go get a field goal. And, of course, they got that in the second half. But – that's not good news for an offense that, you know, would kill for 3 points every now and then.
Ryan Tannehill's QBR today, 83.2. Russell Wilson's 22.3.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson right at 50%, 21 for 42. Ryan Tannehill slightly better than 50%, 19 for 36. 7.1 yard average, a 6.8 yard average. I mean, overall, a rough day for the quarterbacks, but Hutton, you're right. How much worse it would have been with Malik Willis?
Well, just been
10-0 playing today for the Titans.
Like, I don't see them scoring 17 unanswered.
Yeah,
points.
not in a day where Derrick Henry gets shut down.
Right. Yeah, because they not being shut down is Tony Pollard. Ezekiel Elliott's missing his second consecutive game.
Doesn't matter.
In 3 weeks because there's a bye week.
Tony Pollard's better.
Pollard, whenever he's been given his opportunity, he racks up numbers, and he just put another touchdown on the board for the Dallas Cowboys. They lead 20-14 third quarter as Prescott helps them get into the red zone, and then from there, handoff right up the gut. Touchdown, Tony Pollard, and the Cowboys take the lead after the muffed punt turns into an extra Dallas possession.
Phone lines are open. If you want to jump in, react to that Titans win over the Broncos, you can do so. We can talk more about Todd Downing's decision to put in Malik Willis. We talked about the quarterbacks in this game. Very odd decision that backfired in this one. Phone lines open, 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Special thanks to our sponsors, Superbook. We're in the Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway. Two Rivers Ford, they've been doing business the right way for almost 40 years. They treat their customers like family. It's why I'm a customer. Give them a call at 800-900-1000. And Renter's Warehouse. Book your free home rental price analysis today at renterswarehouse.com or call them 615-398-9550.
We will have a full NFL scoreboard for you. We will discuss Todd Downing, where I know Stillman tomorrow is going to call for his job. That won't be the first time or the last. And I don't necessarily disagree
he
with
called
him
for it on Twitter the moment it happened.
I'm sure he did. I've got just a simple rule moving forward
with a lot
now.
Of swear words in his
simple,
tweet too.
No way I doubt that.
No, he did. There were swear words.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow, that Jared really coming out of his shell there on social media.
Maybe he was drunk. Who knows.
Now, very simple rule though moving forward where it's not even about Todd Downing, and we will also discuss the resiliency of the Titans defense, which cannot go unnoticed given who they're playing with right now and what they've done over the last month and a half with some of the scenarios they've been set up with. It is NFL postgame. We are live at the Superbook Sports Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill on Broadway. You're listening to 102.5 The Game. We are live on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game with Chad Withrow. I'm Jonathan Hutton. NFL postgame presented by Two Rivers Ford, Renters Warehouse, and Superbook Sports. Live from the Landshark Bar and Grill and Sportsbook at Margaritaville on Broadway. Our thanks to Michelle Knezovic and Junie Riddle for providing the locker room interviews that you've heard. Also, shout out to Ladarius Robinson, Kenny Adams, making the show happen for us today. And you can join us, 615-737-1025. We're on until 6 o'clock with you here live in downtown Nashville. Chad, give us an update on the in-game scores following the most recent Cowboys touchdown.
Things are heating up in Vegas right now, Hutton. Devontae Adams, 48-yard touchdown reception, puts the Raiders back up on the Colts 20-19. Two-point conversion play, no good. So it's Raiders 20, Colts 19, 11:36 remaining in that game. Packers have the ball, but they're about to punt it back to the Cowboys. It's now the Cowboys up 21-14, 6:25 left in the third quarter of that one. The Rams have scored a touchdown to get closer to the Cardinals. It's Arizona up 17-10 on LA, 4:24 left in the third quarter of that game. Game coming up tonight, Chargers 49ers on Sunday Night Football. And that's a look at our games in progress.
Yeah, and tonight with that game, the Chargers and 49ers, the 49ers getting healthier off their bye week. Chargers, meanwhile, they are banged up at receiver. Again, down Keenan Allen plus. So I'm eager to see the pass rush tonight. Garoppolo, though, is coming off his best game of the season since he was named the starter in week two, coming in for Trey Lance. Chargers at 5-3, San Francisco at 4-4, and three of their losses have been to teams with a record of less than 500. Finals from earlier today, Bucks win in Munich over Seattle 21-16, and in overtime, the Vikings top the Bills 33-30.
What was a great game?
Game of the year, I believe.
It was
just
terrific.
Just based on the final sequence. I got here late fourth quarter, saw overtime, and I was following this from the press box today over at Nissan. It looked phenomenal. Josh Allen played. He threw an interception into the end zone, a minute 15 left in overtime. It was picked off. And the Buffalo led 17-7 midway through the second half, 27-10 in the third quarter. Dalvin Cook, he had a touchdown run. Then C.J. Ham added another score for Minnesota, and it made it 27-23. Mixed extra point, though. And then right after that, Justin Jefferson made this. If you haven't seen his catch, make sure you watch a highlight show or you see it on YouTube. Justin Jefferson, one of the best catches you'll see, skying one-handed and fighting off a defensive back who legitimately had two hands on each side of the football coming down with it over the top of Jefferson.
It was
incredible.
I don't understand how any one hand from any human could do that and rip the ball from someone with two hands on it and falling back the way that he did. It is one of not just the catches of the year, but the catches of any year that you're going to see from that game. Justin Jefferson is the best receiver in the NFL right now.
Minnesota is 8-1. They have 7 of those 8 wins with one possession. They've won the game by leading by only a possession. And that's a roller coaster. You know, if you're a Titans fan, it's a roller coaster every week for the opposite reason. Minnesota, they're winning games 28-24, 28-25, 34-26, 33-30 today. Other games, like some actually are blowouts. They're one win that wasn't one possession, 23-7. Point being, the Vikings are for real, and they can beat you different ways. Chiefs beat the Jags 27-17. Jacksonville started this game with an onside kick that they recovered, and it took a while for Trevor Lawrence to get going. Because even though they had that play, Jacksonville was trailing 14-0 quickly. Kadarius Toney is one of the reasons why. He scored his first touchdown as an NFL player today. He was the trade acquisition from the Giants. Kadarius Toney, his first career touchdown. He had none with the Giants.
I saw the highlight, and I thought they were saying first touchdown with the Chiefs.
Period.
They said it's his first and I'm thinking, can that possibly be correct for this first-round pick, that it's his first touchdown? Did you see the actual touchdown, too? He did this balancing act on the side where he almost stepped out with no player around him. He caught it and started going to the side and nearly stepped out and then tiptoed with 1 foot down the sideline with no one there and continued into the end zone like a celebration. He kept on 1 foot tiptoeing the side even into the end zone.
Patrick Mahomes now has, let me get the stat right. I'm going to do the math here. 41 of his 82 career starts, he has at least three touchdown passes. 50% of his starts for his career, three-plus touchdown passes in those games. One injury note for the Chiefs and for your fantasy team, Juju Smith-Schuster, who had been on a roll the last two starts for the Kansas City offense, he got knocked out. Like, this would lead the segment back in the day of Jacked Up on ESPN with Randy Moss.
And can't do that anymore.
Can't do that. I think he was legitimately knocked out cold. Concussion protocol immediately. He, of course, did not return. Trevor Lawrence, though, returned serve, and at one point you felt like they were a defensive stop away from getting it to become a one-score game. Couldn't do it. Christian Kirk with a touchdown with 11 seconds to go in the half. They trailed by 13 at halftime, and in the second half, Kelce helped put it away. Kelce scored his eighth touchdown on the season. Lions and Bears, your favorite game of the day, Chad. 31-30, the final. Detroit comes from behind to beat Justin Fields, who continues to run all over NFL defenses.
147 yards and two touchdowns on the ground today for Justin Fields. They figured it out offensively for the Bears, what they have to be. And essentially, Justin Fields is an extra running back for them, the way they're running the offense right now.
They win this game if Justin Fields doesn't throw the pick. It's more than just his rushing performances. He threw a pick to Jeff Okuda, who returned it 24 yards, and that allowed Detroit to get back in and tie the game right after that. Justin Fields, though, he has over 550 rushing yards in the last five games, and Jamal Williams helped the Lions in the backfield win that game 31-30. Dolphins win again 39-17. Tua Tagovailoa, he's now thrown for three or more touchdowns and has a quarterback rating of 135-plus in three straight games. Tyreek Hill has another touchdown. Jeff Wilson, who they acquired at running back from the 49ers, he had a great run, a touchdown today in the fourth. Things are clicking for Miami, and watch out, Buffalo. There's a three-way tie up top between the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Buffalo Bills. And all of a sudden, Tua Tagovailoa is going to be mentioned as part of the MVP candidacy this week.
Yeah, and let's also mention him as part of the possible AFC East champions right now with Buffalo and some of their struggles. Crazy season for Miami so far. Also crazy in this Vegas-Indianapolis game. Indy is going to punt it back to Vegas. It's Vegas leading 20-19. Over the Colts, 9:40 left in the fourth. There's a play in this game. I swear I have no clue what pass interference is anymore at any level of football, because if you showed me a video of a training session of NFL officials and said, this is textbook defensive pass interference, I think I saw it in this Raiders game where the Raiders defensive back does not look back for the ball, two hands up, ball's in the air, Colts guy is coming back looking at it. He puts two hands on the shoulder pads of the Colts player, separating him from the ball before it gets there, and no call. No flag for pass interference.
So it's not here.
No, I don't know what happened here.
Oh, this is the kicker. Yeah, there's
they ran into the kicker, so it could be Colts first down.
Okay. Yeah, tripping, excuse me. So you've got the Colts trailing by one on the road. Chad, what is at stake here? You've had this take all week. You've got Jeff Saturday. You have a 30-year-old first-time play caller. You have Matt Ryan, who's back playing, who wasn't even named the starter until he was warming up with the first-team offense today. And they've already fired a number of other coaches. And you have Josh McDaniels, who has lost three different games this year, including most recently to Jacksonville, where his team is led by at least 17 points. It's not the case today, but they do have a fourth quarter 1-point lead with the football.
I went from laughing at the Colts to rooting for them over the course of the week with the decision. It was so odd. when Jeff Saturday was named the coach, and Jim Irsay, you know, given the reasoning as, well, he's never been a coach in the NFL, so he doesn't have that fear that's embedded in NFL head coaches. I'm thinking, okay, what is that? Whatever. But then as the week has gone on, Joe Thomas goes on a rant on NFL Network against Jeff Saturday for getting the job, that it's some sort of atrocity. Today, Bill Cowher on the CBS pregame show goes off on it, saying that it is a slap in the face and disrespectful to every coach in the NFL. And his reasoning was good. He said he had opportunities. He was asked to be an assistant coach, and he said he wanted to be around his family more. He lives in Atlanta. He didn't want that lifestyle, so he turned down those opportunities to stay on TV. And he said, look, I get it. Bill Cowher, of all people, said, I understand that. But then to be handed a head coaching job, he feels is disrespectful of Irsay.
Even separate of that, like, the idea that you're bringing someone in November that, I mean, I'm sure he knows many people in the organization. He does. Many of the players don't know him,
yeah,
right? You've got a first-time play caller. You've got guys who I don't think had a shot to get the job if they were named the interim. Irsay's doing this because he wants Saturday to legitimately get some experience and prove he can do it. I don't think he trusts anyone in the organization was going to do that and win it, and he didn't want to hire anyone who was going to be good enough to do it. Point being, if you're a coach now and you're still under contract, you're looking around going, like, what are we doing
well,
here?
And that,
you're throwing up the ball and you're wadding it up, throwing the trash.
And what I'm saying
is, you have a general manager who's been backing the coach that's also out the door.
What I'm saying is here, what are you doing, NFL coaches, if you're going to sit here and blast this guy and talk about how, you know, you're putting someone on the moon in 1969 to be an NFL head coach.
I would like to reverse it,
and then you go out and lose to this guy.
Reverse it, though. These NFL coaches for the Colts did their job this week, to their credit.
Yeah.
And I think Saturday approached it the right way publicly. He was challenged about the timeline and everything.
But he was humble. He said, I may suck at this. This may not be my thing. But he said, I can lead men.
The veteran
coaches,
though.
That's not the issue. I don't know if I'm going to be a good NFL head coach.
There was a question or not of how the staff would respond to him. And to their credit, like, to Cowher's, I would go opposite Cowher. Like, the coaches you're talking about, slap the face of the coaches. Those coaches are coaching today. Like,
yeah, they're doing their job.
So
they're doing their job.
As they should. But the thought that it's some, you know, slap in the face, I mean,
I think part of the animosity.
This was set up to fail. It really was.
I think part of the animosity, and again, I'm rooting for Jeff Saturday because of all this hate coming his way. But Colts have the ball, by the way, 8 minutes left in the game, down 1 point against Vegas. They're on their own 19-yard line. I think part of the animosity, Hutton, with coaches and people that have criticized this is it feels like a setup where Saturday suddenly gets this gig, I believe, before this season or this past offseason as a consultant. And I think they feel like
that for a few years, though, on the offensive line.
I think they feel like they've been lied to, that this just all came about.
I mean, maybe. But they, it's – it's the out. It's
well,
the
Cowher, Cowher brought that up today. He said he wouldn't take a job being a coach. Instead, he takes this job from his buddy, Jim Irsay, as a consultant. And then magically, he passes over everyone else and is named the interim head coach. That sounds to me like someone who says, yeah, the whole consultant thing was that was always Jim Irsay's backup plan.
I would also say be fortunate, Cowher, that you worked for a Rooney. And not an Irsay. Like, count your blessings.
He was a 34-year-old head coach, too.
But my point
when
is,
he got
like,
the job.
Who knows what Jim Irsay wants to do day to day? No clue. What's he doing in Vegas after this win, if they win this game?
Putting it all on black.
Writing a song.
going to the roulette wheel.
Cowboys up 27-14 with the kick pending. Before we go to break, we're going to give you that score, and Chad's going to tell you the score of
Matt
the Colts
Ryan just
Raiders.
Had a 30-plus yard run in this game. That is a first. I don't think I've ever seen that in his career. He was galloping down the sideline on a run.
28-14, Dallas over Green Bay. We've got Indy down by one. The Raiders lead 20-19, and Matt Ryan with a run past midfield into Vegas territory. We'll keep you updated on those scores. Plus, we're back to the Titans locker room next at 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back into the NFL postgame show. I'm Michelle Knezvik with Rashad Weaver. Rashad, Bud Dupree, Jeffrey Simmons, both out this week. You're a guy on the roster who needs to step up. What was the message in the locker room all week leading up to this game?
It was just fast and physical, get out there and make an impact in the game, you know. Especially as a defense, we want to get out there, affect the QB. And I think we did that, you know, starting with the guards, getting pressure in his face. He's a, you know, shorter guy, getting hands up, trying to get PBUs. And then we had the opportunity on these third downs or any pass play where he was going to hold it a little bit. We really wanted to make him feel the pressure. And I think, you know, we did a good job of that. And we'll go look at the film and try to take even more advantage of the ones we didn't win on. You know, that's what I think this defense is heading. We just constantly want more and more. And that'll lead us in the right direction, especially with this short week to turn around.
Kevin Byard said earlier that, you know, next man up mentality of, you know, that's the expectation that Vrabel has for you all. You know, heading into this game today, you got a sack. How does that feel once, like, you see the crowd cheering, home field? How'd that feel for you?
I'll talk to this guy, the sack to me is the best play you can make on defense. You know, it stops the play or the momentum, and everybody knows that you just made the play and you get to stand up, celebrate with your teammates, crowd, turn you up, especially at the end of the game, you know, something like that. It's what you work for and you continue to, you know, win every game. Just take advantage of all the opportunities. That's what I think comes in mind with that next man up.
Also, Sunday night, your defense was on the field the majority of the time. Then this is a long week, you know, heading into the game. When you guys were down 10-0 heading into the half and you saw the offense in that two-minute drill be able to get some points on the board before halftime, how proud of you were the offense?
Absolutely. Anytime on the sideline and defense isn't out there, I'm watching the offense and just telling them to get it in the end zone, give us points, because we'll go out there and, you know, do our best to get the ball back to them and just keep it rolling and compliment each other. When we get a stop, let them go out there and do their thing. And when they put points on the board right before halftime and defense gets to come out.
Thank you, Michelle, there with Rashad Weaver as the Titans win 17-10 over the Denver Broncos. Head into week 11 against the Green Bay Packers, who trail Dallas 28-14 right now with Aaron Rodgers picking up a 3rd-and-3 to extend a drive. We'll update you on the Indianapolis score in just a moment as NFL postgame wraps up here on Broadway.
Big thanks to our sponsors. Big thanks to our host, Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway. And our sponsors, Renter's Warehouse. Book your free home rental price analysis today at renterswarehouse.com or call them 615-398-9550. And Two Rivers Ford, they've been in business doing it the right way for almost 40 years. They treat their customers like family. That's why I'm a customer. Give them a call at 800-900-1000. Hutton, you said it before, there's going to be a lot of criticism of Todd Downing bringing Malik Willis in, which led to the fumble in this game and just the overall offense. But there's an important message you want to send about that criticism of Todd Downing.
Well, I was joking, and we're going to hear Stillman call for his job, and that's fine. I mean, it has not been good now for two consecutive years. I want to say, though, they have been forcing this play, or him in the ball game, even prior to when he came in for Tannehill via injury. They were forcing this. They tried it. They put him on the field, pulled him off once, but ran a play with him in motion, then gave it to him again. There was a fumble against the Indianapolis Colts. They do it again today on a 3rd-and-3 where the offense is in rhythm. They just picked up a big play. They're going down to get points with your starter, Ryan Tannehill, who, I mean, let's face it, one catch from a wide receiver would be momentum for this offense.
Absolutely.
Right now. They had a great day in the second half. And in the middle of the second half, they insert Malik Willis, who has this bewildered look when he drops the football on a read option with Derrick Henry. I don't understand it. I'm not saying fire Todd Downing in the middle of the season now. I would have been looking for other options prior to the season, quite frankly. I will say, though, there needs to be a mandate from the head coach. We're not doing this crap anymore. If you're going to stand there and say, you know, we shouldn't do stupid bleep with all these penalties, that recurring issue is not going away. There's no reason to continue to trot that out there now that we've seen the same result twice.
It ultimately falls on a head coach when you're talking about a quarterback substitution that's planned in a game and that happens. I'm with you on that. Todd Downing gets the ultimate blame, but the head coach can easily say the week of the game, yeah, let's not mess with this. Let's not pull our quarterback out unless he's injured and mess with a play like that with bringing in another guy.
The in-game scores, it is, let's see, Arizona leads 17-10 over the Rams. Fourth quarter injury issue where Cooper Kupp was out of the game being looked to by trainers. He has had three catches, I believe, for like minus one on the stat sheet today. Cowboys lead 28-14. And, Chad, A big run by Matt Ryan, 39 yards, followed by a catch and run for a touchdown by Paris Campbell. The Colts lead the Raiders 25-20 as we hit the two-minute warning in Las Vegas.
Two-minute warning. It was just a big third down pickup from Davante Adams of the Raiders. Raiders have just inched into Colts territory. They've got it second down now at the Colts 48-yard line, needing 48 yards and a touchdown to win this game in the final 2 minutes.
Short week. The Titans win today 17-10. They're on to Green Bay for Thursday night football. We will be back for NFL postgame
2 weeks.
The Sunday after Thanksgiving, as the Titans will host the Cincinnati Bengals.
Looking forward to it. We'll be right back here at Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill. Looking forward to it. Always a fun time here.
Big thanks to Michelle Knezovic and Junie Riddle for providing the interviews. Ladarius Robinson, Kenny Adams for making it happen on the show today. And our sponsors, Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, and Superbook Sports. For Chad Withrow, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Stay tuned for ESPN Radio. Enjoy the finish to all of the games and Sunday night football as well today. We're back with you for Titans Bengals.